Do you know, it never ceases to surprise me how many people, maybe when they're on holiday or they're out sightseeing around the country, who end up visiting those little chapels or those vast cathedrals or those kind of historic churches that have got a, you know, that we find scattered across our country and across our world. And yet, for many, they would never normally set foot inside a church building. And it never ceases to surprise me on programs such as Escape to the Country, when they're trying to encourage people that this could be their new place to retreat to and life is changing, and they'll cite the church being part of the community or their village or wherever it is that they're encouraging the potential buyers to move to. Because year on year we're told that attendance is dropping, and yet they're being told that this is an important part of where they're moving to. And of course, we would agree that church is an important part. We would agree that going to church and our church life is an important part. But for many who have heard those things said or went on holiday, may not have set foot inside a church building to attend a church service, who have no little or have little knowledge of what it means to be a Christian or what God has done, their memories may be caught up in, I don't know, perhaps childhood times when they were taken to church as a child, smartly dressed perhaps, being told to be seen and not heard, forever being told off for fidgeting or being too noisy, and that has influenced the way they view and consider church. All of us here this morning have had different experiences of church. Even if you've been here all your lives, you will know that what happens here week by week over the years has changed. Things come and things go. You may have come from a different country or a different background, from a church background, where things are different, done differently, songs are sung differently. We all come with our own experiences and our understandings of what church should be like. Maybe some of you still can't wait to get home at the end of a Sunday morning and take off your smart clothes and collapse back down. And some of you still may be counting the minutes until I stop talking. I've only just started. But of course we know, as we were reminded this morning, church isn't the building in which we meet. We are the living bricks of Christ. We are God's representatives here in this world. We are the dwelling in which God's Spirit lives. And it doesn't matter what our background is, what our nationality is. It doesn't matter what our experience of God is, or how we've lived our lives, or what clothes we're wearing. What matters is our hearts. And this passage reminds us right at the beginning that no longer are we separated from God, but we're united with him because of the broken body and the poured out blood of Jesus. As we look at these flags around us, we are reminded of the fact that we are diverse. We are different because these flags represent the number of the countries of people who worship here week by week. Maybe as you were coming into church, you were hearing people being greeted in different dialects and different languages. And all of that reinforces the fact that we are different, but we are all loved by God. And that God can use our differences and our individuality and our uniqueness together to do something amazing, to see other lives transformed by allowing God to work through us, as well as seeing our lives transformed ourselves. I really pray and trust you've been finding this series useful. I know I have. There have been moments when I've really kind of stopped and thought, oh yes, yeah, I need to dwell on that a little longer. We are in week 5. Our series is over halfway through. If you've not picked a book up, it's not too late to go and get one and to work your way through this series. But in this particular passage today, in chapter 2, in verses 11 to 13, we are reminded that we, as people of God, are citizens with God's people. Do you feel like a citizen of heaven this morning? If we look at these flags, we can see how different they are. As we look around at the people around us, we can see how different we are. And sometimes we allow those differences to make us feel different. Sometimes it makes us feel isolated, out of step. Somehow our experience of church before we've come here, or our background, whatever we've come from during our week, can leave us set apart. We hear people worshiping. We can hear people praising God for what he's doing in our lives. And somehow we don't feel like that this morning. We feel somehow separate. But this passage reminds us that we are all children of God. We are all loved despite our differences and our uniqueness and our individuality. We are all citizens with God's people, because it tells us that we were once foreigners, separate from God, but because of Jesus' death on the cross, we are now belonging to God. If we've loved him, if we accept him, if we enable him to come into our life, we invite him in, then we are no longer separate. We're no longer those foreigners in that sense, but we are welcomed in as citizens of heaven. Does that encourage you this morning? Do you feel encouraged that even though perhaps you found this morning maybe uncomfortable, that message, that promise of this passage, that no longer are we foreigners, but we are citizens of heaven, brought into that place because of Jesus' death on the cross that we've been focusing on this morning through our sung worship, that we belong together. Bill Hybels, in his book, Courageous Leadership, tells us that the church is truly unique. He says this: there is nothing like the local church when it's working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. It comforts the grieving and heals the broken in the context of a community. It can build bridges to seekers and offer truth to the confused. It can provide resources to those in need and open its arms to the forgotten, the downtrodden, and the disillusioned. It breaks the chains of addiction, frees the oppressed, and offers belonging to the marginalized of this world. Whatever the capacity for human suffering, the church has a greater capacity for healing and wholeness. Still to this day, the potential of the local church is almost more than I can grasp. No other organization on earth is like the church. Nothing even comes close. Within this building, right now, as living parts of Christ's body, we are a potential to be used by God to transform lives through what God can do through us as his citizens. Together, working together with one another, God has a mighty transforming body to be used if we let him. And we have to allow the wealth of our diversity, of our experiences, of our understanding, of our knowledge, mean that we can be used by him, to be open to what he may wish to do. And yet I wonder if when I read that quote, you thought, no, that's not us. Oh no, I'm not doing that. No, that's not where I'm at this morning. Maybe for you, coming to church on a Sunday morning means that you come in, you sit, you partake and engage and you go out. Maybe you don't really talk to anybody along during the morning. Maybe for you, being a passive Christian, a passive observer of Christ's faith in your life is all you want it to be. Your faith in that sense isn't costing you. But here, as fellow citizens with one another, God wants to tap into the potential he has placed inside us, and he wants to do something mighty. But we have to be willing to accept that cost, to accept that call, to allow him to move in our lives, and to be willing to say, yes, here I am, holy, available. The passage goes on in verse 14, reminding us that we are members of God's family. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. We focused in this morning on the death on the cross of Christ and what he's done for us as a result of enabling us to come in and be part of God's family. Jesus' death removed the barrier, not just between the Jews and the Gentiles, but between us all and God. It's because of his death on the cross that we are able to call ourselves children of God. And as children of God, together we form a family. We are just as important to God as the person sitting next to you, as the person in front or behind you, as the person who we missed this morning because they're not here. All of us are important to God because Jesus' death broke down that barrier and enabled us to become his children. Galatians 3:28 tells us, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Nothing should be separating us because we are all part of God's family, brought at a cost, the cost of Jesus' death on a cross. Another sacrifice at a different time. After an exhausting day of forced labor in July of 1941, the prisoners at the Auschwitz concentration camp lined up for evening roll call, only to discover that a prisoner was missing. Immediately, as was the case, guards and dogs began the hunt for the escaped inmate, a man from Block 14. The remaining prisoners, already gaunt from living on just a mere 300 to 500 calories a day, were forced to stand to attention for 3 hours while the search continued. But the real torture was wondering which prisoners from the escapee cell block 14 would pay the cost by being sentenced to a slow, agonizing death by starvation. That evening, the prisoners were sent to their bunks. But the next morning, the Nazi SS captain announced that the escaped prisoner had still not been found. And when everybody else from the camp was marched off to the fields for another day's work, the men of Block 14 were once again forced to stand to attention for hours. Finally, the SS captain scrutinized each prisoner and one by one removed from the ranks 10 condemned men. One of them, a Jewish sergeant in the Polish army, sobbed uncontrollably, wailing, "What about my poor wife, my poor children?" At that moment, prisoner 16670 stepped out of line. He walked towards the captain, no mean feat, bearing in mind the machine guns being aimed at him. When the captain demanded what he wanted, the man removed his hat and quietly said, "I would like to die in place of one of these men." That prisoner was Maximilian Kolber, a 47-year-old Franciscan priest, who convinced that Nazi captain that an old, frail priest would be a much better choice than the young, distraught husband and father. It wasn't something he needed to do. In fact, the ministry that he'd been undertaking in the concentration camp, bringing comfort and support to the men in those miserable conditions, as he prayed for them and sat alongside them, had been making a huge difference. But this difference was the final act of sacrifice. Today, there's a museum to him. He was sainted by the Catholic Church for his actions. And yes, his actions impacted on the lives of the many who knew of his story. Maybe it touches us today. But the death on the cross of Jesus Christ, because of his love for us, has touched hundreds and thousands and millions and billions of people through this world, through this land, since that moment he did it. Verse 17 said, "He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Golbez's sacrifice saved that one man. Jesus' death brought salvation to the world. It brought peace to all of us. And as members of his family, as his sons and his daughters, we should be demonstrating and showing that peace in our world. We've prayed for our world this morning. Thank you, John. But through the peace that's been brought by Jesus' death on the cross, no longer should there be walls of hostility, of rejection, of anger, of hatred, of fear, because Jesus loves us and has died for us and has made us and enabled us to be part of his family. We've said before, there's no such thing as a perfect church. If you've come here this morning looking for a perfect church, you won't find it, because we're full of individual people, made up of our uniqueness and our personalities and our individuality. And there's no such thing as a perfect family either. You may think your family's pretty good, but there will have been times of ups and downs, of bumps and lumps, of crosswords, and times of trial. As a family of God here in this place, we too will have had ups and downs, times of trial and times of blessing. But as sons and daughters of God, as sisters and brothers in Christ, we need to learn to grow stronger together, to build relationships and to break down barriers because of what Jesus has done, so that we become a strong family that God can use, and not a family that can tear itself apart or be broken. Because thirdly, we are part of God's temple. It's what it goes on to say in this passage. Another illustration, one that you may well know, but I make no apology in reminding us of it. There were two mischievous brothers, aged 8 and 10. They were always getting into trouble. And their parents knew that if any mischief occurred in that area, in their town, their boys were probably involved. The boy's mother was told that there was a preacher in town and he'd been really successful in disciplining children. So she decided he was the man to help. She asked if he would speak to the boys, and the preacher agreed. But he said he wanted to see them individually. In the morning, the mother sent the youngest, the 8-year-old, in to see the preacher, with the older brother due to go later that day. The preacher, a huge man with a deep, booming voice, sat the young boy down on a chair in front of him and asked him sternly, "Do you know where God is?" The boy's mouth dropped. He made no response. He just sat there, wide-eyed, with his mouth hanging open. The preacher repeated the question in an even sterner voice, "Where is God?" Again, the boy made no attempt to answer. And once more, the preacher raised his voice and shook his fist and shouted, "Where is God?" At that moment, the boy screamed. He hurtled out of the room, ran home, up to his bedroom, and slammed the door. His older brother came in. "What happened?" he asked. And the younger boy, gasping for breath, replied, We're in big trouble this time. God is missing, and they think we did it." Maybe you are here this morning asking where God is. Maybe you're here this morning asking, where is God in the situation that you find yourself in? Well, let me tell you, he's here in the lives of all of us as his believers, as his followers. He's here dwelling in us by his Spirit as we seek to be God's hands and feet to those of us around, to the world outside. Yes, I love going in to those vast cathedrals or those little chapels that perhaps have been set aside for sailors, or even those richly ornate churches where there's incense and beautiful stained glass windows. And in those churches and those places where you can get that sense of the saints who've prayed in those places over the years. Our predecessors, our Christians who for years have prayed in those places. You get that sense of peace in those places. But we too, through the prayers that we offer to God, through the lives that we live, should be making a difference in the way that we live amongst our world around, amongst those here in this place, because we are the dwelling in which God's Spirit resides. It tells us here in this passage that we are the dwelling of God. When we come together, like we have done this morning, as we've sung our praise and we've given our prayers of thanks and praise and worship, we are part of God's corporate body together, God's family, here in this place, in this town, in this country, in this world. It's been replicated again and again and again. And we are praising God's name. And for those people, perhaps, who don't yet know him, our lives, our worship, what we do because God is calling us to and we're willing to pay the cost, we can make a difference. God's Spirit seeks to transform and draw lives into him. It's what this series is about, learning more about God, getting to know God better, as our text for the year says. We know a loving, mighty Saviour who died on a cross for us. We need to share that good news with others. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Saviour, if you want to find out more about what God has done for you, I invite you, talk to the person next to you after the service. Come down to the prayer space or up to the prayer space in the middle up there and talk to someone. Don't leave this place without knowing that you too are a child of God because you've accepted what God has done for you. If you've come this morning and you've been burdened by what is going on in your life and you need prayer, don't leave this place. Ask the person next to you. Go to the prayer space and ask someone to pray with you. God loves you. He doesn't want us to be in this place feeling isolated. He doesn't want us in this place feeling that we're out of step with one another. He wants us to be reconciled. He wants to be part of our lives. He wants to shake us out of our passivity and becoming someone who is active in our faith, despite the cost that that might make us feel different to those around us. And another challenge. Maybe as our service comes to an end, and maybe we wander off towards the front door or to the door this side to leave, or we sit and have a cup of tea or coffee, challenge you this morning Speak to someone you've not spoken to before. There are faces here who've been part of this church for many, many years, or just a few weeks. But everybody needs to be greeted. We need to say hello. We need to build those relationships, getting to know people more, finding out a little bit more about one another. Because you and they and me, we're all part of God's family. We're a citizen of heaven. We're a brother and a sister in Christ. We are part of God's family, and it is in us as his believers and his followers in which the Spirit dwells, in which God can be seen at work in our lives. How will we respond this morning? The choice is ours. We may be different, but let's celebrate our diversity and celebrate together. We are God's family together. Amen.